you got to get a little bit of education, whether it's reading books or listening to podcasts like this, and kind of lay out a foundation to what exists and how it functions and all that. Once you lay out your goals, like, everyone's got different goals. So you want to understand you and your goals first.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
On today's show, you're going to learn how to go from an active investor to a passive investor, just like Travis Watts did. He was working 100 hours a week in the oil and gas business, and he's going to talk about how he made that transition from doing that, working on single families, fixes and flips, short-term rentals, and then made his way to his current role as full-time passive investor. The bumps, the bruises along the way, what to look out for when it comes to passive investing, when you're investing with other people. Tune in right now. Travis Watts coming up on today's show. Hey, everybody, welcome to Real Grit. I've got Travis Watts here. He's an investor, passive income advocate. He's a public speaker, the director of investor relations at Ashcroft Capital. You know, he dedicates his time to educating investors who are looking to be hands-off when it comes to real estate investing. So I'm excited to have him here. It's going to be a fun conversation. Travis, how are you?
Hey, Neil. Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
I'm excited you're here. I appreciate it. So most of us just don't wake up and start as passive investors. So, you know, those who cut our teeth, I guess, in investing naturally. So maybe tell me, what was your first entry point to real estate?
Sure. Yeah. I'd say passive investing is probably the 202, and the 101 is always the active approach and going out for the equity and all that, building up your nest egg. So got started like a lot of folks, single family homes. 2009 is when I got started. The market was still falling out. So as much as people like to look in the rearview mirror and say, what great timing you had, not really, you know, after making that purchase.
It was still in the downturn. Correct.
So, but to the point of focusing on cash flow and passive income, the reason I felt comfortable to buy that very first property was because A, it was about 40% off from its current valuation a couple of years before that. Two, it was in a college town. I had just graduated from college and I had been a renter through all kinds of different assortments. And I'm like, hey, this is a two bedroom place. I'm by myself. I'm solo, no pets, no kids, no girlfriend, no nothing. So I said, I'm going to rent that spare bedroom out and I'm going to house hack it. Right. And so when I got $600 per month coming in my pocket without me having to do anything for it, right, my mortgage was about 641, somewhere around the 640s. And I thought, man, I'm virtually living for free. So even if the market continues falling out, at least I don't have a huge mortgage laying over my head. So that was kind of what got the ball rolling. And from there, it was like, how do I take this $600 a month and times that by 100 times? What else can I be doing? And so the journey begins.
Did you continue down that path, that journey in acquiring rental properties, just rental properties? Did you go down a fix and flip or wholesale? Where'd you end up?
Yeah. So I did a multitude of things. So for many years, I did keep kind of the house hacking model. What I would do is I would buy an owner occupied residence I intended to live in for at least 2 years, a fixer upper. I would add value that way as I was having roommates kind of take care of the overhead that way. And then on the side of that, talking about just solely investments, I did get into fix and flips, wasn't very good at it, but did a handful of those. Then I got into vacation rentals thinking, well, you know, cash flow is really the ultimate goal for me. Right. But the way I had approached that was probably the worst way, which was trying to do it all myself and not having any teams or systems in place. So I'm just scattering around. I mean, I was a W-2 worker in oil and gas. I was working 98-hour work weeks. Wow. And then trying to manage vacation rentals and buy and holds and fix and flips and roommates. And it just got to be overload for me about 6 years in. And that's kind of what transitioned me towards the passive investing side of the business.
Yeah. So many people eventually get to that point where, like, you know, and ultimately, that's the end goal, isn't it? Is the income. We're all doing this for income. And the fix and flips are great if you can do it right. A lot of juice, but it's got to go to work someplace. And that ultimately led you from what sounds like a little bit of hitting a wall, if you will,
to get
down the rabbit hole, passive income.
Yep. Yep, exactly. So I kind of began going back to the drawing board sometime around 2014, thinking this isn't scalable. I don't see myself doing this the rest of my life or having 100 properties and trying to run around, you know. So I ran into two guys from a local real estate meetup group, fairly large one. It was out in Boulder, Colorado. They're still around today. And these two gentlemen sold their businesses in the mid-1990s for X amount of millions and kind of overnight, never anticipated on that happening that early in their careers. And they became full-time passive investors. And it was the first time I was opened up into that world that something like that existed, where they were partnering as limited partners in these syndications or real estate private placements. And, you know, they were still getting great tax benefits, monthly cash flow, equity upside, all this awesome stuff, not having to be the person that's actively in that business. And so that was the path I started shifting over to in 2015 and 16, started liquidating my single family homes. And I just said, I want to be like these guys. You know, I don't have a business to sell for multi-millions, but I do have a nest egg built up. I could go put that to work and I could just sort of start on that journey.
Yeah, you get the benefits of owning the real estate, owning property, depreciation, and all the cash flow, but without having to do the stuff, the heavy lifting.
Yeah. And for me, man, that was music to my ears, as frustrated as I was and as burned out as I was. It was like, man, that just sounds like a dream come true. I was a little skeptical of it, to be honest with you, but I was selling one of my single family homes anyhow. And I was like, all right, I'm going to take half the equity out of that and put it into one of these syndications and just see if it's the real deal. Maybe I get scammed. I don't know. Like, let's figure this out. And then it turned out to be legit, thankfully. And, you know, all those to come after it. So yeah, it was cool.
High level for the audience sake, in the event they don't know what a syndication is, give us a high level what that is.
Sure. So let's say there's a 400 unit apartment building that exists somewhere in Dallas, Texas. So if it's $60 million for a purchase price and you're going to use leverage or debt, so you want to have a mortgage on it, you still got to come up with a down payment just like you would on a single family home. So maybe that's 25% down, and then you might want to fix it up. Maybe the roofs need replacing or new signage, new paint, you know, the units need to be turned. So you're going to have to allocate many millions for that too. So you might have to come up with $15, $20 million, something like that, just to close a deal like that. So not a lot of us have $20 million laying around to go do that kind of fun stuff. So that's where the syndication model comes into play, where you have general partners who find those deals, underwrite those deals, and then they raise capital to fund that $20 million or that $25 million. And they raise that capital from people like myself, who's a limited partner. So you might have anywhere from, you know, 5 or 10 limited partners to hundreds to even thousands of limited partners on a deal or in a fund, helping to make that go forward. And then the benefit to me is I don't have to deal with the tenant phone calls and the toilets and all the stuff that's happening day to day. That's professionally managed by someone else. And then it's asset managed from the high level from the group putting the deal together. So we're all kind of collectively sharing in those profits. You know, every deal is different on how those splits and fees work, but it ends up that in the deals I look at, monthly or quarterly cash flow, participation and equity upside if we buy low and sell high. And then the tax benefits in a lot of cases are even better in my own experience compared to the single family homes I was doing. So that's kind of how it works, yin and yang.
Yeah, no, great. Tell me what are the, I don't want to say pitfalls, but what are the things that a limited partner, if they're going to go down this passive path, what should they be looking for in a general partner, somebody who's leading this charge? Are there key signs of what we really should look for and perhaps some things to avoid?
Absolutely. So I always start with kind of my own goals and criteria. So first you have to know your criteria and what criteria even means. So you got to get a little bit of education, whether it's reading books or listening to podcasts like this, and kind of lay out a foundation to know what exists and how it functions and all that. Once you lay out your goals, like everyone's got different goals, right? So John over here on the left says, I want $10,000 a month passive income cash flow. And Susie over here says, I just want to build a nest egg of $2 million. And that's all I really care about by retirement. So those are completely different. Yeah. So you know, Susie might be going into new development syndications that really don't have cash flow to offer. So it's kind of the buy low and the sell high mentality. Whereas John over here is looking for stabilized pre-existing properties that are cash flowing right out of the gate, have high occupancy and collections. So you want to understand you and your goals first. Mm-hmm. Then you want to go out and look for groups that are doing this. And one mistake I made, well, I call it a mistake. One thing I got wrong was I thought there was only maybe three or four of these syndications nationwide happening at any given moment. And so the minute I would see one, I would get all eager to jump in.
Sure.
But you got to remember, there's literally thousands of these deals that are happening, at least hundreds at any given time or any given month through all these operators. So then you want to look at, to answer your question, who's the general partner? Are they a reputable group? What's their track record? What's their specialty? Is this what they do day in and day out? Or is it a little side hobby? Or do they have their hands in everything? They're doing mobile home parks, self-storage, new development, value add. You know, there's a, I like to focus on the groups that get real into their niche, right? Mm-hmm. What they do is really solid and they do it over and over again. So you kind of want to start vetting that way. And I think track record goes a long way, but I've done student deals too, where it's someone's second or third deal just to give them a shot with maybe a lower minimum investment or something. And usually they have a coach or a mentor. So I don't want to discourage anyone doing their first deals and say I would never partner on those. But yeah, that's just a few things to look for kind of macro level.
That's good. And I agree with your assessment. There's probably hundreds and hundreds, right, going on at any point in time across the country. How does one get to a spot where they can evaluate, you know, more than just something they hear about in town? How do they get a little more depth in terms of finding these?
Yeah, good question. So I wish there was just that one-stop shop, right? Yeah. That Yelp.com, here's all of them and here's the rating, but that doesn't exist as of yet. So what I did is I started with kind of some local real estate meetup groups and networking that way. That led me to an introduction to national conferences and national operators. And then, you know, it just kind of kept expanding. I was on forums like Bigger Pockets. I was listening to a bunch of podcasts, hearing about different operators that way. So that's how I did it. I just kind of, I saw what stuck, you know, I threw it all at the wall to see what I could come of it. And over time, I don't know how many partners I've done deals with, maybe 15 or 16 different operators in the space. But at this point, I've learned, you know, which ones have done a better job, which ones are better at communication, which ones really jive more with my goals and what I'm trying to accomplish. And now I'm kind of reeling that back in, focusing on maybe four or five that really under-promise and over-deliver. And so what I always tell people is it's a front-loaded business. You're going to have to get a little bit of education up front, a little bit of networking under your belt, make some phone calls, get yourself out there so that you can find these opportunities and start your due diligence. But then after a while, it gets easier and easier, and then you'll probably end up just redeploying with groups you already like and know.
Have you been to the vault? RealGritVault.com. Listen, we've got multiple guests who come on, and oftentimes they bring us little tips, tricks, tools, scripts, Excel calculators, a multitude of things, and they share it. They share it for you. You can get them totally free, totally free. RealGritVault.com. Never been on the show who's brought everything. It's all behind the vault. Get it. RealGritVault.com. Out of all the ones that you dealt with, you know, the 15, 16 that you've been directly invested in, has there been an anomaly? I'm talking a total train wreck. You're like, there are the markers of this, that if these exist again in somebody else, I would never do that.
Or, yeah. So yeah,
is there something?
There's been a couple, and this kind of gets to the points of risk. So you have the operator risk, which is what we're talking about. And that risk is all about their competency, their track record, their ability to actually execute the business plan that they're showing you. And if they can't, that's a huge risk because you're not going to get anywhere near the returns they're projecting if they don't actually do their job. But then you also have market risk too. If it's a good operator that happens to buy some one-off deal in a bad market that's declining and losing people and jobs, the deal could go south. Yep. And then the third risk point, the way I see it, is the deal itself. You know, maybe you get into a deal and there's some structural issues that no one knew about, the proper due diligence wasn't done. And so even though you're in a good market, blah, 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 with a good operator, or it gets hit by a hurricane or a tornado, like things happen, right? And that's the beauty of being able to diversify. So to share my story, this was a deal I did maybe in 2016, somewhere in that time frame. It was out in Atlanta. And so good market, growing, booming, good purchase price. But this operator completely dropped the ball on what they said they were going to do. They were going to renovate 400 plus units. They probably got to like 40. And they basically threw in the towel. They had stopped distributions. They had fired the property management company. They got a lawsuit thrown against them. Like, all these bad things happen. Yep. They ended up just having to sell the property, thankfully at a gain, but not even probably half what they had projected. So it was kind of a big letdown and a good lesson learned.
And the gain would have been a thank you from the market leveling up, and had nothing to do with the operator.
Yeah, good deal, good market, bad operator. So, you know, I kind of put it like 50% is kind of where this comes from. 50% is the operator in terms of my opinion of importance. 25 market, 25 deal. So because we had market and deal in place, we got about 50% there. And then the other 50% was completely dropped. And so that's how we ended up with half our return.
Yeah. Interesting. Bring me current. What's your world look like today?
Yeah. So one of the groups that I did a lot of deals with, and I got to know Joe Fairless very well. Some of you might know him from the Best Ever Books podcast conferences. Absolutely. So he's a GP of Ashcroft Capital. Joe had his firstborn daughter about, I don't know, 2.5, 3 years back, probably three now, Quinn. And so I reached out to him and I'm like, hey, I'm kind of at a crossroads in my career, looking to do something fun, exciting. I really want to focus on the education side of this business. There's kind of an underserved niche out there of explaining what these things are and how they work, the pros and cons are. So if you're willing to call me, whatever you want to call me, give me any title you want. We'll talk about pay stuff later, but like, basically I just want to represent your company because I already know you and know your deals, know what you do. And if there's any way I could go to these conferences that I'm going to anyway, you know, that would save me a lot of out-of-pocket costs, number one, and travel. And two, I could run an Ashcroft booth. I could get on stage and do a speaking event that otherwise you would have had to do. And that keeps you at home with your daughter, at least here in the interim. So that's kind of how I approached it. Came on as director of investor relations for the first, 2-3 years. Now I'm director of investor education, because that's really where my passion lies. So I'm doing a bunch of webinars, podcasts, things like that. And on the personal side, I'm just a full-time passive investor. Yes, I do a lot of these syndications, but it's not all I do. I also invest in REITs and ATM machines and note lending funds and all kinds of stuff, dividend paying stocks. So it's just anything that's going to have passive income, and then ideally some equity upside as well.
It's tremendous. The ability to live off passive income, to live your preferred lifestyle and your passion for it, I mean, it's just incredible. And what you're doing talk to me a little about the education side. What does that mean? How does that look for what it is that you do today?
Yeah, sure. Well, I've always had this passion for just sharing things that have worked for me. And this started back in high school, my senior year of high school. I wrote this book, not to get famous or popular, or not to make money, and not because it was a school project. I wrote this book called How to Get a 4.0 GPA with Minimal Effort. And I wrote it for some people in my school that were just struggling academically, to try to help and show them some of the tips and tricks, if you will, that helped me kind of get to that point. So it started then. It's never stopped. Back when I was doing single family, I was a big advocate for what I was doing then, or I should say what I was doing right in those moments. And then, you know, no different today. You know, a lot of people, it feels or seems overwhelming, I think, to think you could really live off of passive income from your investments, especially coming from the traditional investment types. If you look at yields on annuities or bonds or CDs or high yield savings accounts, I mean, you think, God, I'm going to need $20 million just to live off this stuff. But there's a lot more out there. There's a lot higher yield that can potentially be had, especially through real estate, but other sources as well. So my mission is just to teach people how that works, how you can calculate that, formulas, spreadsheets. I'm always happy to share any tools in the tool bag that can help you.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I know we just recently launched the Real Grit Vault. It's a collection of resources available to our listeners. And I know you were kind enough to bring a contribution to our vault that anybody can get for free. Maybe share a little about that. What have you contributed here?
Sure. I've got a couple things to contribute. The first thing is, I'm a big advocate, if you don't already, keeping not just a budget, like what do I spend every single month, but I've created this spreadsheet I've been working on literally since high school. So this is like, it's something I tweak every year, and it gets a little better with more formulas, more calculations, more things you can add. And it has your income and it has your expenses and it has your assets and it has your liabilities and it has your net worth. And then it's got your historic gross income and historic net worth. It's a really nice spreadsheet that just lays it out for you. You can track that year after year. You can see what your progress has been. You can see opportunities of where things might have gone wrong or are currently going wrong. And so I encourage everyone to have some like that. Doesn't have to be my sheet, but that's one I created. Happy to share. The other is what I call a FI calculator, and FI stands for financial independence. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't necessarily have to just mean real estate and syndications. This is just a way to plug in all these different variables according to what you have or what you believe or what you want to retire on. So you could put in there like $2 million, 6% annualized yield, 3% inflation. I want to retire at 62 and I want to pull $4,500 a month out of it. And it shows you on a graph what kind of yield curve you're going to have in terms of what you want to see is a yield curve like this that basically says your net worth is going to go up indefinitely, even though you're going to be drawing down off your cash flow. Or it'll show you kind of the bell curve and say, well, you'd probably run out of money at age 105 if you're going to do that. And so you can play with all this stuff. And so happy to share that as well. It's just kind of a nerdy little Excel sheet.
No, it's terrific. You know, the net worth calculator, I've seen so many of them, but they don't have a running or where you've been historically. And so yeah. I like that. So you can keep track of, you know, where was that 3 years ago and where am I at today?
Yeah.
All in a singular place. Anybody can get that www.realgritvault.com totally free. Let's do this. I want to move on to this final segment, what I call 4-4 impact.
4-4 impact.
Your favorite quote, Marcus Aurelius once wrote, you could leave life right now, let that determine what you do and say and think. What about that resonates most with you?
So Marcus Aurelius was a Stoic philosopher. He was one of the emperors of Rome. This quote comes from over 2,000 years ago. And to me, this quote's all about making sure that you're staying present, you're living in the moment, you're appreciating the small things, remembering we're all mortal. The end game for all of us, no matter how successful, is we die. So as morbid as that is, and as much as we don't like to think about that stuff, the more clarity you can get around your mission, your goals, what kind of lifestyle you want to achieve, these kinds of things, the more you can work towards that. And again, not saying I'll be happy when I have 20K a month passive income, but just say I made progress today. I made progress this year and I'm working towards my ultimate goals. You know, I'm being the person that I want to be. So that also kind of ties into memento mori, which is a Latin phrase, and it's to remember your death. So very similar kind of thing. I actually have a tattoo on my arm of it with an hourglass running out. It's just something that, you know, I did that 100% just for me. You know, it's not one that people can really even see visibly, but it just, again, it keeps me in the moment. It keeps me grounded. Anytime your ego starts raising up or you think, God, I just had such an amazing year. Just to remember, that's awesome, but make sure you're focused on the right things and that you're staying humble as well.
Yeah. What do you think holds most investors back from hitting their next level?
Oh man, lack of education, which is why my passion is educating others on this stuff. Skepticism, analysis by paralysis. There's a lot to it. I think it can get overwhelming if you're trying to put yourself in all these conferences and forums and books and podcasts and you're hearing all these different messages. It can be hard to cipher through that and figure out what exactly should I do. So for some people, maybe finding a mentor, finding someone that actually does this stuff and reach out to them, you know, someone like myself or anyone else out there in the space. It's not just me out there. So those are three.
Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
My wife and I, and now my son, who's 8 months old, we love travel. We just took him on his first international trip. So, we went backpacking through Thailand and just, you know, impromptu flights out to Venice and Germany. And like, we just love experiencing different cultures, learning about different things that way, and kind of more in the unplanned seat of your pants kind of thing. Not really sure where we're going to spend the night tomorrow. Just we'll figure it out. Let's make an adventure out
of it.
Life's
an adventure. Travel. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
giving back my time, honestly, I really do a lot of it. I do it through blogging. I do it through articles. I do it through free 15-minute phone calls with people on my Calendly. And it's really, I'll talk to anyone. You know, you're 18 years old, you're 70 years old, you're accredited, you're non-accredited, you're just getting started, you're very experienced. I just like to see where people are at, see how I can help, and of course, learn from them as well. So there was a time in my life, again, oil and gas, 100-hour work weeks, fix and flips, vacation rentals. Man, I had no time. I had no time for family, no time for vacations, no time to date. I mean, it was an awful existence. And now I have that, grateful to have a lot of that time back that I can share with people.
Well, you got to live life on as you see fit, on your terms.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, no, that's great. Travis, I appreciate you taking the time to connect up here. It's been a wonderful conversation. It's fun to hear where you've been through 100 hours a week, grinding away to living life on your terms, to international travel at a whim. It's very cool. If people want to connect with you, they want to find you, they want to follow you, where should they go? What should they do? How can they do it?
Sure. So Instagram and Facebook, I have the handle at Passive Investor Tips. And then my name is Travis Watts, if you want to connect on LinkedIn or Bigger Pockets or any other forum. And ashcroftcapital.com/Travis. I've got a whole page there with some giveaways and all kinds of stuff. You can check that out as well.
Great. We'll make sure we got all those links down below in the show notes. Travis, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Neil. Thanks, everyone.
You bet. For everybody here at Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons, reminding you that real estate requires real grit. See you next time. If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode. Hey, it's Neil Timmons. I've got a question for you. Are you a fix and flipper and want to leverage your skills, build passive income, create bigger paydays? Maybe you buy and hold rental houses and you want to increase your income by working less. Maybe you're executing on the Burr methodology and times being what they are, you're finding more cash locked into a deal. Maybe you want more predictable profits, or maybe this is your first go at real estate. Well, I've got a challenge for you. The 20X Profit Challenge. It's hosted and taught by yours truly. I'm going to teach and show you over the course of 5 days in this totally free challenge, how to 20X your profit. Lesson one's a game changer, multiplying your income and capital fast. Lesson two is the perfect plan. I'm going to show you how to be getting off-market 20X profit deals coming to you. The cash flow multipliers, lesson three, how to rapidly force appreciation and income growth. Lesson four is the deal accelerator, buying and holding profit guarantee properties. And lesson five, the wealth accumulator, consistently closing a 20X profit deals. I'm going to show you exactly my methodology, exactly what I did to go from where I was at, not achieving the results I wanted to achieve in my life, not achieving the passive income that I hoped for, that I knew I was capable of, and in 3.5 years becoming financially free. I'm going to do that in a 5-day free challenge. To sign up, go to 20xprofitchallenge.com, 20xprofitchallenge.com. We've got one coming up. Go there now, register. It's totally free. 20xprofitchallenge.com, and I'll see you in the challenge.